த மகாபாரதா ஆடிப்பருவ செக்ஷன் 1. ஓம். ஹேவிங் போ டவுன் டு நாராயண அன்னர் த மோஸ்ட் எக்ஸால்டட் காட் அண்ட் ஆல்சோ டு த காடஸ் சரஸ்வதி மஸ்ட் த வர்ட் ஜயா விக்ட்ரி பி அட்டர்ட். உக்ராசவா த சன் ஆஃப் த லோமஹர்ஷனா சர் நேம் சௌதி வெல் வர்ஸ்ட் இன் த புராணா பெண்டிங் வித் ஹியூமிலிட்டி ஒன் டே அப்ரோச் த கிரேட் சேஜஸ் ஆஃப் ரிஜிட் போஸ் சிட்டிங் அட் த ஈஸ் ஹூ ஹேட் அட்டெண்டட் த 12 இயர்ஸ் சாக்ரிஃபைஸ் ஆஃப் ஷோனகா சர் நேம்ட் குலபதி இன் த ஃபாரஸ்ட் ஆஃப் நைமிஷா. தோஸ் அசெட்டிக்ஸ் விஷிங் டு ஹியர் இஸ் வண்டர்ஃபுல் நரேஷன் ப்ரெசன்ட்லி பிகன் டு அட்ரஸ் ஹிம் ஹூ ஹட் தஸ் அரைவ் அட் த ரெக்ளூஸ் அபோட் ஆஃப் த இன்ஹாபிட்டன்ஸ் ஆஃப் த ஃபாரஸ்ட் ஆஃப் நைமிஷா. ஹேவிங் பீன் என்டர்டெயின் வித் டியூ ரெஸ்பெக்ட் பை தோஸ் ஹோலி மென் ஹீ சல்யூட்டட் தோஸ் முனிஸ் ஆர் சேஜஸ் வித் ஜாயின்ட் பாம்ஸ் ஈவன் ஆல் ஆஃப் தெம் அண்ட் இன்க்வயர்ட் அபவுட் த ப்ராக்ரஸ் ஆஃப் த அசெட்டிசம். Then all the ascetics began again seated. The son of Lomaharshana humbly occupied the seat that was assigned to him. Seeing that he was comfortably seated and recovered from fatigue, one of the rishis, beginning the conversation, asked him, "Whence comest thou, O lotus-eyed Sauti, and where hast thou spent the time? Tell me, who asked thee in detail?" Accomplished in speech, Sauti thus questioned, given the midst of that big assemblage of contemplative munis a full and proper answer in words consonant with their mode of life. Sauti said, having heard the diverse sacred and wonderful stories which were composed in his Mahabharata by Krishna Dvaipayana and which were recited in full by Vaisampayana at the snake sacrifice of the high-souled royal sage Janamejaya and in the presence also of that chief of princes, the son of Parikshit, and having wandered about, visiting many sacred waters and holy shrines, I journeyed to the country venerated by the Dvijas and called Samanta Panchaka, where formerly was fought the battle between the children of Kuru and Pandu, and all the chiefs of the land ranged on either side. Thence, anxious to see you, I am come unto your presence, ye reverend sages, all of whom are to me as Brahma, ye greatly blessed who shine in this place of sacrifice, the splendor of the solar fire, ye who have concluded the silent meditations and have fed the holy fire, and yet who are sitting without care, what, O ye Dvijas, shall I repeat? Shall I recount the sacred stories collected in the Puranas containing precepts of religious duty and of worldly profit, or the acts of illustrious saints and sovereigns of mankind? The Rishi replied, the Purana, first promulgated by the great Rishi Dvaipayana, and which after being heard both by the gods and the Brahma Rishis, was highly esteemed, being the most eminent narrative that exists, diversified both in diction and division, possessing subtle meanings logically combined and gleaned from the Vedas, is a sacred work. Composed in elegant language, it included the subject of other books. It is elucidated by other Shastras and comprehended the sense of a fourth Veda. We are desirous of hearing that history called Bharata, the holy composition of the wonderful Vyasa, which dispelled the fear of evil, just as it was cheerfully recited by the Rishi Vaisampayana under the direction of Dvaipayana himself at the snake sacrifice of Raja Janamejaya. Sauti then said, having bowed down to the primordial being Ishana, to whom multitudes make offerings, and who is adored by the multitude, who is the true incorruptible one, Brahma, perceptible, imperceptible, eternal, who is both a non-existing and an existing non-existing being, who is the universe and also distinct from the existing and non-existing universe, who is the creator of high and low, the ancient, exalted, inexhaustible one, who is Vishnu, beneficent and the beneficence itself, worthy of all preference, pure and immaculate, who is Hari, the ruler of all faculties, the guide of all things movable and immovable, I will declare the secret thoughts of the illustrious sage Vyasa of marvelous deeds and worshipped here by all. Same bards have already published this history. Some are now teaching it, others in like manner will hereafter promulgate it upon the earth. It is a great source of knowledge, established throughout the three regions of the world. It is processed by the twice born, both in detailed and compendious forms. It is the delight of the learned for being embellished with elegant expressions, conversations between human and divine, and a variety of poetical measures. In this world, when it was destitute of brightness and light, and enveloped all around in total darkness, there came into being, as the primal cause of creation, a mighty egg, the one inexhaustible seed of all created beings. It is called Mahadivya, and was formed at the beginning of the Yuga, in which we are told was the true light Brahma, the eternal one, the wonderful and inconceivable being present alike in all places, the invisible and subtle cause, whose nature parcathyte of entity and non-entity. From this egg came out the Lord Pitamaha Brahma, the one and only Prajapati, with Suraguru and Sthanu. Then appeared the 21 Prajapatis, that is Manu, Vasishta and Parameshti, then Prachetas, Daksha and 7 sons of Daksha. Then appeared the man of inconceivable nature whom all the Rishis know, and so the Vishvadevas, the Adityas, the Vasus and the twin Ashwins, the Ekshas, the Sandhyas, the Pishaschas, the Guhyakas, the Pitris. After these were produced the wise and most holy Brahmarishis and the numerous Rajarshis, distinguished by every noble quality. So the water, the heavens, the earth, the air and the sky, the Panchamahabhuta, the points of the heavens, the years, the season, the months, the fortnights called Pakshas, with day and night in due succession, and thus were produced all things which are known to mankind. And what is seen in the universe, whether animate or inanimate, of all created things will at the end of the world, after the expiration of Yuga, be again confounded. And at the commencement of other Yugas, all things will be renovated, and like the various fruits of the earth, succeed each other in the due order of the seasons. Thus continued perpetually to revolve in the world, without beginning and without end, this wheel which causes the destruction of all things. The generation of Devas, in brief, was 33,000, 3,300 and 33. The sons of Div were Brihadbhanu, Chakshus, Atmavibhavasu, Savita, Richika, Arka, Bhanu, Asavaha and Ravi. Of these Vishavans of old, Mahya was the youngest, whose son was Devavrata. The latter had for his son Suvrata, who we learn had 3 sons, Dasajyoti, Satajyoti and Sahasrajyoti, each of them producing numerous offspring. The illustrious Dasajyoti had 10,000, Satajyoti 10 times that number and Sahasrajyoti 10 times the number of Satajyoti's offspring. From these are descended the family of Kurus, of the Yadus and of Bharata, the family of Yayati and the Ikshvaku, also of all the Rajarshis. Numerous also were the generation produced, and very abundant were the creatures and the places of abode. The mystery which is threefold, the Vedas, Yoga and Vijnana Dharma, Artha and Kama, also various books upon the subject of Dharma, Artha and Kama, also rules for the conduct of the mankind, also histories and discourses with various stutis, all of which having been seen by the Rishi Vyasa are here in due order, mentioned as a specimen of the book. The Rishi Vyasa published this mass of knowledge in both the detail and an abridged form. It is the wish of the learned in the world to possess the details and the abridgment. Some read the Bharata beginning with the initial mantra invocation, others with the story of Astika, others with Uparichara, while some Brahmanas studied the whole. Men of learning display the various knowledge of the institute in commenting on the composition. Some are skillful in explaining it, while others in remembering its contents. The son of Satyavati, having by penance and meditation analyzed the eternal Veda, afterwards composed this holy history. When that learning Brahmarishi of strict vows, the noble Dvaipayana Vyasa, offspring of Parashara, had finished this greatest of narration, he began to consider how he might teach it to his disciples. And the possessor of the 6 attributes, Brahma, the world perceptor, knowing of the anxiety of the Rishi Dvaipayana, came in person to the place where the latter was for gratifying the saint and benefiting the people. And when Vyasa, surrounded by all the tribes of Muni, saw him, he was surprised, and standing with joined palms, he bowed and ordered a seat to be brought. And Vyasa, having gone round him, who was called Hiranyagarbha, seated on the distinguished seat, stood near it, and being commanded by Brahma Parameshti, he sat down near the seat, full of affection and smiling in joy. Then the greatly glorious Vyasa addressed Brahma Parameshti, said, "O divine Brahma, by me a poem had been composed which is greatly respected. The mystery of the Veda and what other subjects have been explained by me, the various ritual of Upanishad with the Angas, the compilation of the Purana and history formed by me and named after the 3 divisions of time, past, present and future, the determination of the nature of decay, fear, disease, existence and non-existence, a description of creeds and of the various modes of life, rule for the forecast and the import of all the Puranas, an account of asceticism and of the duties of the religious student, the dimension of the sun and moon, the planets, constellation and stars, together with the duration of the four ages, the Rig, Sama and Yajurvedas, also the Adhyatma, the science called Nyaya, Otepi and treatment of diseases, charity and Pashupata Dharma, birth, celestial, human, for particular purpose, also a description of place of pilgrimage and other holy place of river, mountains, forest, the ocean, of heavenly cities and the Kalpas, the art of war, the different kind of nations and languages, the nature of the manner of the people and the all-pervading spirit, all these have been represented. But after all, no writer of this word is to be found on earth. Brahma said, I esteem thee for thy knowledge of divine mysteries. Before the whole body of celebrated munis distinguished for the sanctity of the life, I know thou hast revealed the divine word even from its first utterance in the language of truth. Thou hast called thy present work a poem, wherefore it shall be a poem. There shall be no poets whose work may equal the description of this poem, even as the three other modes called ashrama are ever unequal in merit of the domestic ashrama that Ganesha be thought of, O Muni, for the purpose of writing this very poem. Sauti said, Brahma, having thus spoken to Vyasa, retired to his own abode. Then Vyasa began to call to mind Ganesha, and Ganesha, obviator of obstacles, ready to fulfill the desire of his votaries, was no sooner thought of than he repaired to the place where Vyasa was seated. And when he had saluted and was seated, Vyasa addressed him thus, O guide of the Ganas, be thou the writer of the Bharata, which I have formed in my imagination and which I am about to repeat. Ganesha, upon hearing this address, thus answered, I will become the writer of thy work, provided my pen do not for a moment cease writing. And Vyasa said unto that divinity, wherever there may be anything thou dost not comprehend, cease to continue writing. Ganesha, having signified his assent, he by repeating the word Om, proceeded to write, and Vyasa began, and by the way of diversion he knit the knots of composition exceeding close, by doing which he dictated his work according to his engagement. I am, continued Sauti, acquainted with 8,800 verses, and so is Shuka and perhaps Sanjaya. From the mysteriousness of their meaning, O Muni, no one is able to this day to penetrate those closely knit difficult slokas. Even the omniscient Ganesha took a moment to consider, while Vyasa, however, continued to compose other verses in great abundance. The wisdom of this work, like unto an instrument of applying calerium, hath opened the eyes of the inquisitive world blinded by the darkness of ignorance. As the sun dispelleth the darkness, so that the Bharata, by its discourses on religion, profit, pleasure and final release, dispel the ignorance of men. As the full moon by its mild light expanded the buds of the water lily, so this Purana by exposing the light of Shruti had expanded the human intellect. By the lamp of history, which destroyed the darkness of the ignorance, the whole mansion of nature is properly and completely illuminated. This work is a tree of which the chapter of content is the seed. The division called Pauloma and Astika are the root. The part called Sambhava is the trunk. The books called Shabha and Aranya are the roosting perches. The books called Arani is the knitting knots. The books called Virata and Udyoga the pith. The book named Bhishma the main branch. The book called Drona the leaves. The book called Karma the fair flowers. The book called Shalya, the sweet smell, the books entitled Stri and Aishika, the refreshing shade, the book called Shanti, the mighty fruit, the book called Ashwamedha, the immortal sap, Karna, the fair flowers, the denominator Ashrama Vashika, the spot where it groweth, and the book called Maushala is an epitome of the Vedas and held in great respect by the virtuous Brahmanas. The tree of the Bharata, inexhaustible to mankind as the clouds, shall be a source of livelihood to all distinguished poets. Sauti continued, I will now speak of the undying flowery and fruitful production of this tree, possessed of pure and pleasant taste, and not to be destroyed even by the immortals. Formerly the spirited and virtuous Krishna Dvaipayana, by the injunctions of Bhishma, the wise son of Ganga and of his own mother, became father of three boys who were like the three fires by two wives of Vichitra Virya, and having thus raised up Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura, he returned to his recluse abode to prosecute his religious exercise. It was not till after these were born, grown up and departed on the supreme journey that the great Rishi Vyasa published the Bharata in his region of mankind. When being solicited by Janamayaja and thousands of Brahmanas, he instructed his disciple Vaisampayana, who was seated near him, and he, sitting together with the Sadasyas, recited the Bharata during the intervals of the ceremonies of the sacrifice, being repeatedly urged to proceed. Vyasa had fully represented the greatness of the house of Kuru, the virtuous principle of Gandhari, the wisdom of Vidura, and the constancy of Kunti. The noble Rishi had also described the divinity of Vasudeva, the rectitude of the sons of Pandu, and the evil practice of the sons and partitions of Dhritarashtra. Vyasa executed the compilation of the Bharata, exclusive of the episodes, originally in 24,000 verses, and so much only is called by the learned as the Bharata. Afterwards, he composed an epitome in 150 verses, consisting of the introduction of the chapter of contents. This he first taught his son Sukha. Afterwards, he gave it to other of his disciples who were possessed of the same qualifications. After that, he executed another compilation consisting of 600,000 verses. Of those, 300,000 were known in the world of Devas, 1,500,000 in the world of Pitris, 1,400,000 on the Gandharvas, 100,000 in the region of mankind. Narada recited them to Devas, Devala to the Pitris, Sukha published them to Gandharvas, Yakshas and Rakshasas, and in this world they were recited by Vaisampayana, one of the disciple of Vyasa, a man of just principle and the first among all those acquainted with the Vedas. Know that I, Sauti, have also repeated 100,000 verses. Yudhishthira is the vast tree formed of religion and virtue. Arjuna is its trunk. Bhimasena its branches. The Susans, Madri are its fully grown fruit and flowers. And its roots are Krishna, Brahma and the Brahmanas. Pandu, after having subdued many countries by his wisdom and powers, took up his abode with the Munis in a certain forest as a sportsman, where he brought upon himself a very severe misfortune for having killed a stag coupling with its mate, which served as a warning for the conduct of the princes of his house as long as they lived. The mothers, in order that the ordinances of the law might be fulfilled, admitted as substitutes to their embraces to gods Dharma, Vayu, Sakra and the divinities, the twin Ashwins. And when the offsprings grew up, under the care of the two mothers, in the society of the ascetics, in the midst of sacred groves and holy recluse abodes of religious men, they were conducted by rishis into the presence of Dhritarashtra and his sons. Following as students in the habit of brahmacharis, having their hair tied in knots on their heads, "These are pupils," said they, "are as your sons, your brothers, and your friends. They are Pandavas." Saying this, the Munis disappeared. When the Kauravas saw them introduced as sons of Pandu, the distinguished class of citizens shouted exceedingly for joy. Some, however, said they were not the sons of Pandus. Others said they were, while a few asked how they could be his offspring, seeing he had been so long dead. Still on all sides, voices were heard crying, "They are on all accounts welcome. Through divine providence, we behold the family of Pandu. Let their welcome be proclaimed." As these acclamations ceased, the plaudits of invisible spirits causing every point of the heavens to resound were tremendous. There were showers of sweet-scented flowers and the sounds of shells and kettle drums. Such were the wonders that happened on the arrival of the young princes. The joyful noise of all the citizens in expression of the satisfaction on the occasion was so great that it reached the very heavens in magnifying plaudits. Having studied the whole of the Vedas and sundry other Shastras, the Pandavas resided there, respected by all and without apprehension from anyone. The principal men were pleased with the purity of Yudhishthira, the courage of Arjuna, the submissive attention of Kunti to her superiors, and the humility of the twins Nakula and Sahadeva, and all the people rejoiced in their heroic virtues. After a while, Arjuna obtained the virgin Krishna at the Swayamvara, that is Draupadi, in the midst of the concourse of Rajas, by performing a very difficult feat of archery. And from this time he became very much respected in this world among all bowmen, and feats of battle also like the sun. He was hard to behold by foemen. And having vanquished all the neighboring princes and every considerable tribe, he accomplished all that was necessary for the Raja. His elder brother performed the great sacrifice called Rajasuya. Yudhishthira, after having, through the wise counsel of Vasudeva and by the valor of Bhimasena and Arjuna, slain Jarasandha, the king of Magadha, and the proud Chaidya, acquired the right to perform the grand sacrifice of Rajasuya, abounding in provisions and offering and fraught with transcendent merits. And Duryodhana came to the sacrifice, and when he beheld the vast wealth of the Pandavas scattered all around, the offerings, the precious stones, gold and jewels, the wealth in cows, elephants, the horses, the curious textures, garments and mantles, the precious shawls and furs and carpets made of the skin of Ranku, he was filled with envy and became exceedingly displeased. And when he beheld the hall of assembly elegantly constructed by Maya, the Asura architect, after the fashion of the celestial court, he was inflamed with rage. And after having in confusion a certain architectural deception within this building, he was derided by Bhimasena in the presence of Vasudeva like one of the mean descent. And it was represented to Dhritarashtra that his son, while partaking of various objects of enjoyment and diverse precious things, was becoming meager, vain and pale. And Dhritarashtra, sometime after, out of affection for his son, gave his consent for their playing the Pandavas at dice. And Vasudeva, coming to know of this, became exceedingly wroth. And being dissatisfied, he did nothing to prevent the disputes, but overlooked the gaming and sundry other horrid, unjustifiable transactions arising therefrom. And in spite of Vidura, Bhima, Drona and Kripa, the son of Saradvan, he made the Kshatriyas kill each other in terrific war that ensued. And Dhritarashtra, hearing the ill news of the success of Pandavas and recollecting the resolution of Duryodhana, Kama and Sakuni, pondered for a while and addressed to Sanjaya the following speech. Attend, O Sanjaya, to all I am about to say, and it will not become thee to treat me with contempt. Thou art well versed in the Shastras, intelligent and endowed with wisdom. My inclination was never to war, nor did I delight in the destruction of my race. I made no distinction between my own children and the children of Pandu. My own sons were prone to willfulness and despised me because I am old. Blind as I am, because of my miserable plight and through paternal affection, I bore it all. I was foolish after the thoughtless Duryodhana, ever glowing in folly. Having been a spectator of the riches of the mighty sons of Pandu, my son was derided for his awkwardness while ascending the hall. Unable to bear it all and unable himself to overcome the son of Pandu in the field, and though a soldier unwilling yet to obtain good fortune by his own exertion, with the help of the king of Gandhara, he concerted an unfair game at dice. Hear, O Sanjaya, all that happened thereupon and came to my knowledge, and when thou hast heard all I say, recollecting everything as it fell out, thou shalt then let me know for one with a prophetic eye. Then I heard that Arjuna, having bent the bow, had pierced the curious mark and brought it down to the ground and bore away in triumph the maiden Krishna, the sight of the assembled princes. Then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard the Subhadra of the race of Madhu had forcibly seizure mean married by Arjuna in the city of Dwaraka, and that the two heroes of the race of Vrishini, Krishna and Balarama, the brothers of the Subhadra, without resenting it, had entered Indraprastha as friends, then O Sanjaya had no hope of success. When I heard that Arjuna, by his celestial arrow, preventing the downpour of Indra, the king of the gods, had gratified Agni by making over to him the forest of Kandava, then O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the five Pandavas with the mother Kunti had escaped from the house of Lak, and that Vidura was engaged in the accomplishment of the designs, then O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Arjuna, after having pierced the mark in the arena, won Draupadi, and that the brave Panchalas had joined the Pandavas, then O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Jarasandha, the foremost of the royal line of the Magadha, blazing in the midst of the Kshatriyas, had been slain by Bhima, and his bare arms alone, then O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that in the general campaigning, the sons of the Pandu had conquered the chiefs of the land and performed the grand sacrifice of the Rajasuya, then O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Draupadi, her voice choked with tears and heart full of agony, in the season of impurity and with but one raiment on, had been dragged onto court, and though she had protectors, she had been treated as if she had none, then O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the wicked, wretched Dushasana was trying to strip her of that single garment, he had only drawn from her a person a large heap of clothes without being able to arrive at this end, then O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. And I heard that Yudhishthira, beaten by Saubala the game of dice and deprived of his kingdom as a consequence thereof, had been attended upon by his brother of incomparable prowess, then O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the virtuous Pandavas, weeping with affliction, had followed the elder brother to the wilderness and exerted themselves variously for the mitigation of his discomforts, then O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success.